This is a CBC podcast.
The opposition continues to put the pedal to the metal over a contract for tire recycling in Saskatchewan. That deal and a donor to the Saskatchewan Party named Richard Porky Porter have been the focus of questions from the NDP this week. Mira Conway is an opposition MLA.
The SAS Party's tire fire of a deal still has so many unanswered questions. We still haven't gotten an answer about the Premier's meeting with folks from Surecom back in 2016 when they say the Premier himself made promises that they would have access to the scrap tires they need for their value-added manufacturing in their business in Saskatoon going forward. Did the Premier make that promise in 2016? And if so, why did he break it?
Here, here.
Recognize the Premier.
Speaker, that question was answered yesterday. I want to read a quote into the record. Richard inspires confidence, trust, and integrity. His passion for rural governance is like none other. His leadership and dedication to making a difference to municipalities has not gone unnoticed. He has had a measurable impact on the people of Saskatchewan over many decades. That is why Richard Porky Porter was appointed to the TSS board by the internal appointment process that they have, not by government, Mr. Speaker. But I would, and those are the words, that quote, pardon me, are not my words. Those are the words of Ray Orb, the president of SARM. So the member from Elphinstone, rather than slandering members of this province on the floor of this assembly, could have the opportunity to ask.
Premier, I asked the Premier to withdraw and apologize for that comment.
Withdraw and apologize.
That's the Premier, Scott Moe, apologizing for unparliamentary language in the legislature yesterday. For more on this, we've reached our political panel. Adam Hunter covers politics for CBC Saskatchewan, and Murray Mandrick writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Adam, what's at the heart of the opposition's concerns?
So this started with concerns over why a California company got the contract for scrap tires in southern Saskatchewan in the province through this Tire Stewardship Saskatchewan, which was arm's length from the government, split it in half. Previously, Surecom had it. That's a Saskatoon company that had it for many years. Surecom didn't bid on this split contract. They say they were excluded. They blame TSS and also the government for this decision. They want answers. They had a news conference this week. We also heard from TSS this week, who said there was a review conducted a few years ago. They decided to go this route. There were some concerns raised. But back in 2016-17, when these changes were being made, Scott Moe was the Minister of Environment, and he was in charge of overseeing the changes, overseeing TSS. And that's where this Porky Porter comes in. He's a friend of Scott Moe's. He's a donor to the Saskatchewan Party, donated to Scott Moe's election campaign as leader. And so the opposition's saying, why is this person on this TSS board? Why was he put on this board of the Saskatchewan Water Corporation? He's the only person on this board of the TSS that doesn't have any tire experience, isn't in the field. And you heard Scott Moe's defense of his friend there. We also heard from the deputy premier, who came out one day and said, if we disqualified everyone who had connections to the Saskatchewan Party or donated to the Saskatchewan Party or voted for the Saskatchewan Party, we wouldn't have a lot of people on these boards. So we have to pick the best people, and he was qualified.
What do you make of this issue?
Oh, there's so much political sanctimony and everything. You read the letter, you heard the letter from Ray Orb, and I'm sure this is a good man. I'm sure he had even better ones from Foghorn, Longy Gordon, and Daffy Duck, too, because it's really silly, Looney Tunes. Like, I mean, it's just absolutely sanctimonious politics about going back and forth of people accusing my friend of being unqualified when I know he's qualified, and the silliness. I guess we heard from the finance minister before Premier Scott Moe would come out and speak to this on his estimates day, basically saying, well, you can't, as Adam explained, you can't exclude everybody that has voted SAS Party or even donated to SAS Party. Well, and basically prove to us that he's not qualified. It's not my job to prove to you that he's not qualified. The appointment was made, and you need to explain to us why it was made and address the allegations of political patronage, and this TSS not being as arm's length as it is. And I guess that's where the problem begins. We still do not know why Surecom lost the contract and they split it. We don't know if there's problems there. If there was, why don't they just come out and say that we had problems there? We had problems with the cost that they were demanding. We found a better way. We found a bigger market. But we've had none of those explanations from Environment Christine Tell. She goes tells us to go talk to TSS. TSS picks and chooses when and who they want to provide interviews with. They certainly wouldn't with the Leader Post when we asked. And we're left without an explanation of the basic question of what's going on here. We don't even really know for sure if the tires are staying in the province, although Christine Tell says they are, but there seems to be some skepticism whether even that's true. So there's a whole bunch of really strange and unanswered questions right this, and there might be credibly viable answers. I don't think there's any problem, to be honest with you, with Mr. Porter being on this board or not, but I sure would like to get some basic answers from government that basically chooses not to and chooses to play the victim here, that somehow when someone that's close to them receives an appointment, that there should be no criticism for that appointment and that we should somehow prove that that's a problem. Well, on the surface, it seems to be a problem. It's a real big problem when you're not providing the answers. As I say, it's been Looney Tunes.
And this obviously goes back to the issue of, is it better to have a Saskatchewan company doing Saskatchewan work? And it's a bit of a tough one for governments and oppositions because we also have lots of free trade rules and a desire to get the best price for work that the government pays for. And this has all been part of the debate between the opposition leader and the premier. They got to go woman-o, a man-o in premier's estimates, which is a bit of a theatrical exercise for people who don't know that usually comes near the end of a session, but is also a really fascinating chance to see what the opposition leader wants to ask of the premier. Adam, how'd that go?
Yeah, I was saying to a couple of the reporters, to Jeremy Simons from the Canadian Press and to Murray, that you know I think the public would be interested in watching that rather than watching Question Period every day because there is sort of a different rhythm to it. Carla Beck gets to take her time and ask questions. The premier gets to take time and answers. He actually gets answers handed to him in some cases, stats. He talks it over with the ministers and the staffers are there to provide some of the answers. It does take a lot of time, and it did take a lot of time to get going, I thought, this week. But when it did get going, it got a little heated and it was kind of ramping up when Carla Beck started asking questions about healthcare and the things we've talked about on the show with people having to go out of province for care and diagnostics. We've issues in the emergency rooms, issues of staffing, the government's recruitment policy. And then it got to another level when Carla Beck said, you should fire the education minister. Why haven't you yet? Criticisms over Bill 137, which he presided over, criticisms over the teacher dispute, which continues to go on. And she says it's the longest in Saskatchewan history. So that's when Scott Moe got a bit, you know, on the defensive. He got heated himself. They're going back and forth. He's asking her questions. She's saying, well, you're auditioning for opposition leader. You're doing a pretty good job. And so we get some of those barbs. We get a good chance of them going back and forth because it's very, small little pockets we see in the House, and this kind of all circles around Carla Beck's overall point, which is that there's affordability concerns in the province, that the government's just not paying attention, that they're eyes are closed and their ears are closed on what's going on. And that happened yesterday with the opposition putting together a motion saying, we want you to vote for a fuel tax cut, and the government voting that down unanimously. So that goes back to affordability questions. And that's sort of where this is all headed, I think, when we go into the election in the fall.
What did you hear in the debate?
I think Adam did a really good summation there of why it's important. It is seeing the opposition leader and the premier going mano a mano, hand to hand. By the way, it's not man to man, but it's.
Oh, thank you. My Latin for those others,
why do they use that? But that's what it is. It's just like a competition between the two, and you don't get 3 hours of them going back and forth in Question Period. And as Adam says, it's a good assessment. In terms of that assessment, I thought Carla Beck wasn't good in the first hour because she got into the statistical war, this back and forth of throwing numbers about why the economy is bad. Government's going to do a better job of that because they have, you know, access to better research, better researchers, access to better information. And it's a bit of a saw-off in terms of whether they're meeting their goals or not. And when it comes to voters, who cares? They'll either think the economy is doing bad by their own personal assessment or they won't. But when Carla Beck gets issues in her wheelhouse, and those issues are social services. Those issues are health care. Those issues are certainly education right now, because I think she really stung Mo a bit again when she basically said, why aren't you firing Education Minister Jeremy Cockrell? And Mo went into a spirited defense. I thought he was very effective in as premier, critiquing the lack thereof of economic policy of Carla Beck. She mentioned her first one this week, in essence related to the tire recycling controversy, and say, well, we will not – but she didn't even say we will not go stop from other province contracts from doing business in Saskatchewan. We will prioritize. Well, I don't know what that means. Does that mean that when no one else can do business, like the government constantly claims, when no one else can do business in Saskatchewan, you'll go out of province? Or does it mean a complete and total ban? You need to expand on this under what circumstances, and then explain why your position is really all that much different than what the government is doing, or what you would do to create more jobs, to add more people. And this is where Scott Moe is terribly strong. Where he's not strong is the issues that we're talking about tonight, today, that there's cronyism in government, that there's people with privilege getting appointments and running things, that they're not providing explanations as per the last story and what we're doing. That's what her estimates should have been about. I think only about half her line of questioning was about that. So it turned into, in my humble opinion, a bit of a saw-off.
And how much do you think this will inform the election campaign, which is really less than half a year away now?
I think that we're getting a really good preview, actually. And I think a lot of the stuff that we're hearing this week, when Scott Moe was mentioning Carla Beck going to Ottawa and she's in cahoots with the Prime Minister and Jagmeet Singh, and they keep parroting this line of Trudeau campaign school and the NDP groans, and they're quick to point out, hey, we're going to stand up for Saskatchewan, which is a term that the government likes to use, and we're going to talk to anyone and everyone. We're going to criticize anyone and everyone. We're taking meetings with anyone and everyone. It doesn't matter who it is. The government's using a similar, I think, strategy that happened in Alberta and Manitoba, where the Conservative parties there were really trying to paint those leaders, Wap Kanu and Rachel Notley, as friendly with Trudeau, who's not popular in the Prairie provinces, as we know. It didn't really work in Manitoba. It worked a little bit in Alberta, obviously. And I think that's what we're going to see in the campaign, because the governments are going really hard on that this week and the last number of weeks.
How much will that resonate?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. In answer to what Adam's question, if they dislike each other this much now, I hate to see what the campaign is going to be like, because it is already significantly nasty in the legislature. I don't know if it's as nasty as I've ever seen it, because I've seen it pretty nasty. But it's pretty nasty right now. And if you remember the last campaign, how did it start out with? Well, all of a sudden, accusations, not from the opposition, of course, but they just seem to float out there related to Scott Moe's previous driving record, stuff that had largely been covered in the campaign but started to come out, and he had to answer for some of those issues. I think we're going to see a lot of that. And I think what you saw in the House with Mira Conway, I think what you're seeing even with Carla Beck, who's a lot more plucky than I imagined that she would be when she was named NDP or won the NDP leadership a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. I think that basically we're seeing a different brand of NDP. It's a really interesting contrast of all these young women, or relatively young women, at least compared to me, in the NDP caucus versus old white guys on the Sask party bench, that some of them are even older than me. And it's sort of the real divergence in Saskatchewan right now. And I think that is going to all play out in the campaign in various forms.
Thanks, you guys.
You're very welcome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.